before God. But this kind of prayer is the prayer of purification. Maybe it's a culture that was obtainable in those days that it's as if believers today are losing out on. Through this kind of prayers, we have seen people that murdered people before they got born again. And they passed through the furnace of Jehovah's refining fire. And they became meek men. Men that do not easily offend and men that cannot be easily offended. Now, I pray that the Lord will help us to... You see, most of us praying were not diligent. You know yourself. You know what the challenge is. And if you lose your sense of sincerity, you cannot sustain consistent motion on the part of spiritual progress. I pray that God will help us in the name of Jesus. Those days when we were praying and said, Lord, it was not as if we had fornicated, but we were saying, take fornication away. Take greed away. Take. And people saw us, they say, what kind of sin have you committed? I think it's becoming clear now that we did not waste our time. So you need to be deliberate. You need to say the thing you are asking God to take away. The thing has a name. Don't just go, Most of the time we escape, we dodge the thing by hiding under. If we are going to Jehovah Mekedishken, that is the Lord our sanctifier, you go there with the things you are hoping to be purged. And all the things you are going with has names. Has names. You will not know that lust is there until you see a fair lady that just finished doing her hair. Then your knees begin to shake like this. You will know that there's something there. There's something happening. So you take it to the potter's house to make a dish. And when you get there, mention the name. Mention the name and ask him to release fire on it. You see, purging is a slow process. At any point in time, you lose your sense of sincerity. Maybe because there's some oil. And you went to Urukum. Two people fell down. Oh! You might forget that your knees are still shaking. And in the day when it matters most, when you stand on the mountain like Elijah to call down fire, you'll be calling down fire like this. With the knees shaking. With the knees shaking. And for every new level, there's a new devil. You'll be exposed to an activity of darkness that you were not used to before. So God, we don't graduate from going deliberately to Mekadishka. Just in case you don't have a scripture about Mekadishka, I need to take you to, before I open my own scripture. My scripture is in Acts chapter 5. Follow me to Malachi. Let me show you the scriptural basis of what the barrister has been pushing us into. Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide in the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he shall be like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. The metaphors that were used here to depict the Lord in this capacity is the refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Those days, I don't know about now, there's one soap that is called soda. It's white. Oh my. There's no stain it cannot treat. But after treating the stain, it will also wear out your hand. That's fuller's soap. It has temper. And when you come to the refiner's fire, sometimes it's a case that doesn't need fire. It needs chemical. Some of your anger needs chemical, concentrated chemical, corrosive chemical. This chemical I'm talking about, don't get confused. When you begin to pray and say, Lord, help me, help me, help me in this matter, then God will orchestrate a situation that will be so bitter on that weakness. You will not know it's your prayer that invited it. Mekadishkan will never act until you ask him to. Because his ways, he doesn't have any tool that is for comfort. All his tools... Oh! Walking in holiness, this is the secret. You will see 1,000 preachers will fall on the laps of ladies, but there are some, even in the Sahara Desert, they will stand like eucalyptus. It is because they visited Mekadishkem frequently. So it's either he applies fire or what? He brings chemical. He will organize situations that will put that weakness on the spotlight. Oh, you say it's hunger. You slap someone and you'll be in the cell for 14 days. And after 14 days, they'll forget you. When you come out, if they trouble you again, your hand, you will lose. That's chemical. That's the chemical aspect. It's full of soap. When it purges without, even your hand too is, oh my. Are you ready for what you are praying for? Because the way you are praying with your hand in your pocket, if you really visit Mekadish, you will forget you have a pocket. Those were the cultures of old in the purging exercise. There is no one that gives his life to Christ that doesn't have an excess load of flesh. You might be wearing a good tie, it's a bow tie, look, pious, sanctimonious, sacramental, the flesh is one. How many of you saw U.S. election? Even white, the white flesh is even more complicated. It's more complicated. They say, oh, we are not decent. Well, see, even in Afghanistan, they have not had an election like that. To show you that fallen man is the same. And the cure to fallen man is the refiner. Refiner. He burns off everything that is of the old creation. That is still trying to feature in your new protocol. He comes with the judgment that the cross has decreed. And he is not, he doesn't pamper the manifestation of the flesh. It either applies fire or he applies soda. And what is his job? Next verse, verse 3. And he shall sit. This is Mekadishkem. There's a throne for this kind of job. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. Do you know what they call dross? Maybe ladies, in our midst, you have some golden stuff. You wear it for like 5 years, it will lose its shine. They need to pass it through the fire again for the dross to come out. Some things have mixed with the metal, and it has taken away its brilliance. That's how some things can mix with your life. And it will take away your conviction about fornication. It will make your conviction about immorality to become passive. It will act on it and make you to become, bring you to a point of possibly negotiating. Sin is an object of negotiation. Meanwhile, previously you used to hate righteousness. You used to hate wickedness and love righteousness. It's not enough for you to love righteousness. You need to hate wickedness with passion. And most believers don't travel that road. They like loving righteousness, but they don't travel the road of hating wickedness. And so, because your heart is not close to it, Satan can still negotiate your soul on that ground. Oh, the work of holiness. A holy man will know a holy man through the kind of prayers that he prays. If you have never visited Mekadishkem deliberately with an appetite, asking for fire, you are doing 21st century Christianity. The type that they imported from America. I know you laughed when I said imported from America, but that's what happened. Most of our leaders traveled to America, saw the gospel there, and they brought it here. Meanwhile, God was building an independent move that started in the early 90s. 1900, that's the first time people spoke in tongues on this soil. And he began to build began to build. It died. Some of them were corrupted. The stream still escaped. In the 70s, late 60s, then it gathered momentum again through some leaders that rose in the body of Christ and committed themselves to purity and prayer. You cannot separate the two. Through purity and prayer, commitment to purity and prayer, we now had people, intercessors like Babalola, that rule through a scepter of the Spirit. That's the heritage that we have. If we are going to do anything that will shake the continent, it will still be with the utensils that our ancestors found. God doesn't pioneer so much. He follows patterns. If it has happened before, don't try to be smart. Go and find out how it happened. And that's why most of what we do in apostolic recovery is redistributing the wisdom that we can find in the book of Acts and Apostles, because it's our destiny as a generation to remanifest what our ancestors did. Are you still with me? It was prayer and purity. And when you check their lives, some of them lived old for old years, 90, 87, 89, 92. There was no scandal anywhere that they touched any woman's breast. They knew this purifier of silver, Jehovah Mekadishvi. That person trying to tempt me with the phone, there's something called the spirit of judgment. It operates on me, but I don't regulate it. I pray for you. The last time I stretched my hand like that, the person ran mad in 3 days. I pray for you that you will know where you are standing. Many of you have not met a real man of God. I pray for you. I pray for you. Are you with me? You don't come to the house of God. There's something you don't understand. May it not burn you off. I was there in the minister's conference when a pastor made jest of Umar Opai. No need to continue the story. You already know. That's when I discovered that a human being can pray on another human being that is born again, and then the anointing will never rest on him. We didn't see that type before. The whole everybody had to do a ballet. So the whole minister's conference that morning was prayer of appeasement. And those are the people that have the spirit of judgment. All right? And not too long ago, my name was put on that list. May the Lord give you understanding. It's not a will to judge, it's a spirit that is judging. So I warn you. Listen. The work of holiness is a choice. Because there is an office that is set up to purify vessels. Hallelujah. Many people ran into the anointing, walked in the anointing without recourse to the sanctifier and the purifier of silver. These are men. Those days when he says, this prophet I'm talking about, when he says he wants to see our president, and the president I'm talking about then was Muslim, he doesn't pre-book his appointment. He will just send him a message. The Lord has sent me. That president will clear his table. I'm talking about a Muslim. Will clear his table because the prophet is coming. They give him clearance from the entrance. The entrance. He doesn't take money from there. The only thing he asks if they want to give him something is the soul of the president. Those ones were bought with a price. And they represented Jehovah. Fully. If what we are trusting God for is to replicate that heritage, then there is a secret chamber that the church has avoided for years. That chamber is the seat of the refiner and what? And the purifier of silver. That is where he purifies the sons of Levi. And he purges them. How? How does he purge them? As gold and silver. How do they purge gold and silver? is by fire. Bekadishka. That's where you take your anger. That's where you take your lust. And you stay there. There is a recipe that he has for lust. When he's done, your eyes will not behold. Your eyes will be tamed when he's done. If you see your eyes still active, you didn't say the time for the therapy, you discharge yourself from the therapy. If it's a 6-day therapy, are you with me? If it's a 6-day therapy, remain there for 6 days. Hallelujah. And make a decision. He will come to you. We want to pray. You know the reason why we are praying? It's because we have not lost our sense of sincerity. And the prayer will not be so powerful to you if in your business you have lost your sincerity, your sense of sincerity. You will not find any need to visit the purifier of silver. The purifier of silver. He said he will purge them, the sons of Levi, like gold and like silver. Well, I just brought clarity to the emphasis that my brother raised. But my own body is in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5. And I want us to lend our voices together as we raise a lamentation for the nations of Africa. Acts chapter 5, verse 34-36. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. This is counsel. He said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching this man. Why? And he gives us a context, a case study, an event. But before these days rose up Peter, boasting in himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. Please, help me check the characteristic of Tadas. That's how COVID is now. It has gained a lot of boasting. It has gained a lot of visibility. And many people are preaching his doctrine right now. But how did they enter this? He was slain. And what happened? Everything came to naught. We want to slay COVID now. Hallelujah. He was what? I came here with a very terrible holy anger because the people that are responsible for the bondage of the world have already started whispering again. And they say, the whisper is dead wave. Dead wave. Oh, you have not heard it? That's the song in Europe right now. Dead wave. So, Tadas came boasting in himself. You see, that person in 14 days' time, the Lord will strike you. In 14 days' time, the Lord will strike you. And he will strike you so bitterly that you will not recover. Now listen. It's better you don't come. It's better you don't come. If you cannot subscribe to simple principle. If it's outside, then what bother? What is your own problem? If you can't subscribe to simple principles, it's better for you not to come. Because there's no way we can run a local expression of the body of Christ without authority. And according to the scriptures, if you cannot submit to authority, you cannot be a member of the body of Christ. You can be a believer, but not a member of the body of Christ. And just like in Judaism, 90% of the activities that a Jew carries out as worship takes place in a temple. Are you with me? In Christianity, 70% of what a believer carries out takes place in a group, a body of believers. It means that our activities is factored in a fellowship arena. That's how you can find your destiny. It's because you are part of a company that is desirous of God. And within that fold, God administers his authority through the people that he has kept in charge of that fold. If you can't operate under their authority, you cannot be a member of the body of Christ. And that fold has the authority to excommunicate you. Their excommunication will not make you an unbeliever, but it will remove the covering that you enjoy because you are a member of that fold. Authority is critical, and we need to teach it again. You can't come and do what you want. And just in case you don't recognize it, there's something called the spirit of judgment. I'm not a politician. I'm a representative of Jesus. All right? And once again, I announce, beware of being reckless. We came tonight to kill COVID. When Tedas was killed, all the activity that built up around him came to naught. Can we pray tonight? We put an end to COVID, We command COVID to fall. We command COVID, we seize your strength. We curse your roots. And if there are any set of people in the earth that are supporting your advancement, developing things in the laboratory to put the world in disarray, that before this week comes to an end, let the vengeance of God visit those ones that are supporting the cause of this confusion. South Africa, from Zambia, dry up from West Africa, from Ghana, from Nigeria. You will no longer be remembered. Your boasting has reached its end. Moseli Mokoria Baska Parana Siko Preso Pali Mohombres Keta Baselikoto. Asa Somena Siko Presko Pelami. Saikon Dasama Kapreskuba Kapelami. Iso Selekuria Semina Tora Bahate. Maiko Sabate Skumpela Makata. Fall in the name of Jesus. Let the darkness that is forming, let it be dissipated. Let it be diffused. In the name of Jesus. Oh. We take advantage of the authority we have been given by you, Lord, to administer your purposes in the earth. We confront COVID, this expression of destruction raging in the earth. Your time is up. Fall from the throne that in which you have exalted yourself. And let your memory vanish in the name of Jesus. We say, go back from South Africa. Go back from Botswana. Go back from Zambia. Go back from Europe. Let your memory begin to dwindle. Let the numbers of those you have afflicted begin to drop. Let those that you have stung rise from the sick bed. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. You may be seated. For 14 years, my phone has never rang in service by mistake. Because the first thing I do before I enter the hall is to switch off. The reason why I remember is because I fear God. I will not allow you to insult God. And if you can't cope with the discipline we have here, don't come back. If you can't cope, don't come back. You just get yourself injured. Turn your Bible with me quickly. I know you don't like judgment. But you cannot remove Acts chapter 5 from the Bible. What happened there with the spirit of judgment? Ananias and Sapphira, is it in your Bible? Acts chapter 13, is it in your Bible? Paul went to preach to the deputy. And Elimas, the sorcerer, began to. Is that in your Bible? And Paul, there are some people that are not here to attend service. What they came here to do is to distract the congregation. I assure you, you will not go too far with that agenda. Hallelujah. All right. Need to do something quickly before I begin to. We are still in Proverbs chapter 1, but I would like us to. I'd like us to practice what we call the culture of the wise. When we have practiced the culture of the wise, then now we define what understanding is. The culture of the wise. The culture of the wise. The culture of the wise is in eight verbs, and we tried to fish out those verbs the other day from the book of Proverbs chapter 2. The book of Proverbs chapter 2. Once upon a time, a pastor somewhere in eastern Nigeria, wanting to make everybody feel welcome, he said, you can come the way you are, come. He forsook the exercise of authority and felt it more convenient for people. So he developed a system, a fellowship where there was no authority. Now you can come. So it came to pass 6 months into, and meanwhile the congregation was exploding. Then 6 months into the ministry, 8 ladies came into church with their pants. And because he had already said, come, because he put the authority behind, come. By 8 months, he could not control the assembly anymore. The assembly was controlling him because he did not understand how to establish the principles of a local assembly. One year, 2 months, his father in the Lord had to ask him to shut down because something else was in charge. I've told you for 14 years, my weakness is ringtone. You cannot be in charge here. We'll be having problems until I'm old. So you will do well. You can go for other meetings and be calling your mother and say, I heard you were crying yesterday. Not here. Apart from the Ten Commandments, there's another one here. What is that one? It's a sin against the congregation for your phone to ring here. Okay? All right. Meanwhile, what I uttered is effective. In 14 days, there will be a sign that it will not be withdrawn. Proverbs chapter 2. Don't be quick to say mercy, because you might have some. Don't be quick. When Jesus overthrew the table of the money changer, there were people like you there saying mercy. The reason why he would not stop was because they wanted to turn his house to something else, just like you want to do so. But he was stronger than the people trying to turn the house, so he overturned the table of the money changer to bring order so that the house can still fulfill its original function. If we allow you to go scot-free without, you will bring somebody else to join your club. I will fight you till I'm old, white hair. I will still be saying, may the Lord resist the people that come. As an old man, may the Lord resist the people. A wise man has 8 basic cultures. What makes him escape? What befalls a generation? What befalls a nation? What befalls a city? He's in an 8-fold culture that is part of his conduct. It's part of his daily practice. My son, Proverbs chapter 2. If thou will receive my words. The first word there is receive my words. And hide my commandments. That's the second verb. Hide my commandments with thee. Verse 2. So that thou incline, that's the third word, thine ear unto wisdom, and apply, that's the fourth, thine heart unto understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, criest. Number five, after knowledge, and if thou liftest. Number six, liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her, that's seven, as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand what? Then the beginning of wisdom will be revealed to you. Because the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and it is when you are equipped with the fear of the Lord that you will find spiritual knowledge. The knowledge that comes from the mouth of God only. There is no other source for that knowledge but the mouth of God. So, having read those few scriptures, it is expected that on your notepad you will have receive as number one, hide as number two, incline as number three, apply as number four, cry as number five, lift as number six, seek as number seven, and search as number eight. These are the eight wisdom verbs. Every wise man makes these eight things a regular part of his life. What did I say? Every wise man makes these eight things a regular part of his life. Now, in order for us to make it a regular part of our lives, we need to understand what it is. So what I did was that I went into the Hebrew words to get the original root word so that we'll know which word was specifically exploited in giving us perspective in the verses that we just read. Under receive, the Hebrew word that was translated receive means to lay hold. To lay hold. To lay hold. And I'm going to explain each of these verbs. So the first word is receive. What does it mean? To lay hold. All right. Let me take you further. Then you understand what receive means. I pray we'll have more. There's no time. Oh my God. A very powerful scripture has been laid on my heart. So I want to take us there. And that scripture is in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Is it according as his divine power? Please stay with me. Can you stay? Stay with me. Whenever I say stay with me, I'm not looking for your ears. I'm looking for your heart. Just open your heart. He said, according as his divine power has given unto us all the things that pertain to life and to godliness. Let me stop there. Are you with me? Anytime you study your Bible, especially the epistles, take your time to ponder on what you are reading. Now, there is a confusing part of this verse, and that confusing part is a word that was used for power. You know, I told you that in Greek language, there are four words for power. Where is Evangelist Philip? Go to the pigeonhole of my car. Get me a mask. There's somebody that needs a face mask in this congregation. Hallelujah. We are men of faith. But not everybody has as much faith as I do. So to help your faith, so that you not be distracted in Bible study, the person coughing will help the person with a face mask. I'll come with plenty tomorrow. The Lord will help us. Please, every night before you sleep, kill COVID. Look for a weapon. Strike COVID. It has lived beyond its shelf life. It's expired. So let us make him vanish. Let us make him make COVID disappear. It's an expression of Abaddon. It's been released from the bottomless pit to trouble the world. And there are foot soldiers upon the face of the earth that are bent on putting the world into crisis. And the Lord Jesus will visit them. Hallelujah. Don't worry, sit down, sit down. If you hear another cough, then administer the equipment. Hallelujah. Now, according as his divine power. You see, I told you the other time that there are four words for power in the Greek. And the word for power here is dunamis. Dunamis, you have said it again and again, has two meanings. It has, the first meaning is inherent. It's inherent. Dunamis doesn't come from above. Dunamis is inside of you. It's there now. And if you want to activate it, if you want to use it, it's available for you to tap into its power base. It is inherent. Part of the reason why God made it inherent is to transfer the responsibility of usage. He doesn't want to be the one responsible for how you use dunamis. So he made it what? Inherent. To transfer usage to you. So what you become on the basis of the investment that is dunamis is your fault. It's your business. It's based on how you want to use the material because it is inherent. How do I know this? In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Bible says, this is Paul speaking, he says, I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in my understanding also. Of all the gifts that the Holy Spirit gave to us as the body of Christ, as the church of Jesus, there is only one gift that you can operate at will, and that is the ability to speak in tongues. The reason why you can pray in tongues at will is because what gives you the capacity for utterance in tongues is where? In heaven. Now, are you there? You must have heard of crude oil. Crude oil. Alright, so crude oil is a complex mixture of hydrocarbons. Crude oil happens not to be useful in its crude state. You need to subject it to some form of refinement before you begin to see these useful fractions fractionate at various temperatures. Your refinery is your ability to speak in tongues, and then the crude mixture of hydrocarbons is the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. That's the crude oil. It's in crude form. You must subject it to refinement in order for you to get feedback from this resource base consistent with the needs that you have. Evangelist, apart from listening to the Bible study, you have a different task. To equip people with face masks. Some people won't cough from morning. When they come for Bible study, they flow in it. So hallelujah. You know, it's affecting some people's faith. I'm trying to help faith. I'm good. I'm okay. I'm all right. In fact, I've done how many COVID tests now? They're all negative. And the future ones, I already know what it will be. Let the WHO, let them go to Europe and look for victims. They are not in Africa. Yeah. What we have in Africa is statistics. We have numbers. Numbers that we don't know which algorithm manipulates it. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. When last did you see a COVID variation? When last? We don't have numbers. There's just like when you are playing draft. And you do like this. Eh? The team will be moving, but the Lord will help us. Are you there? All right. So, this gift that God has given us is inherent. So, the Bible says that God has given us all things through the dunamis. The dunamis that he has given you, God doesn't have any other thing to give you apart from the dunamis. And what you need in potential form to prosecute life and godliness is within that hub of spiritual capital. Is that correct? So it now depends on how you put it to work. If you have an anger issue and you are trusting God to help you, it's still through that resource that God will administer the response of life to that fleshly inclination and bring you out of that state where the fall can still affect that aspect of your life and bring you into the supplement, the provision of the new creation for that expression of yours which is not found in Christ. That kind of activity is organic, and the name of it theologically is called transformation. In the place of your anger, he will give you meekness. Have you read that scripture that says that God will give you beauty in the place of ashes? He will give you the oil of joy in the place of mourning. He will give you the garment of praise in the place of the spirit of heaviness. Oh, people like quoting the scripture. You don't know that that scripture cannot happen because I come and I declare. Bah! An evangelist can come to town and say, you are delivered. He will say, you receive a garment of praise. And he will run out of town. But the things he just declared are not declaration items. They are things that are walked into you through the resources of life that God has made available. It will become so because you are in on the path of spiritual progress, and the protocol of the saving life is still being issued forth in your vessel. That's when you stand to receive the garment of praise instead of what? The spirit of heaviness. So there is a replacement protocol that takes place because we are still in alignment with the process of divine life that has been invested into us as spiritual capital. So everything you need to prosecute life and godliness has been built into the infrastructure of the dunamis that God has given you. Is that clear? All right. So according as his divine dunamis has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and this dunamis will become more efficacious. You are not with me. You are not with me. It's hard to teach these days. I don't know where your mind is going. Jesus. Meanwhile, don't get me wrong. I know if you understand it. I know. God equips a teacher with the utensils to discern the level of comprehension. So it is not your face. You might be smiling, but you are somewhere in North Bank. Your reality is in North Bank. Hallelujah. The extent to which this dunamis will be effective in your life is consistent with the knowledge of God that precipitates in your heart. I will explain. Part of, are you with me? You know, I said that crude oil is a complex mixture of hydrocarbons. When you put it in a fractionating column, for those of you that read basic chemistry, there's something called a fractional distillation column. You must have seen it in your laboratory before. That's how a refinery is. A refinery is actually a fractional distillation column. And the whole idea of a fractional distillation column is that we want to heat up something that is a complex mixture. We want to heat it up and also expose it to pressure. All right? And when we do that, because the components, stay with me. Because the components in the mixture are different, they will fractionate at different temperatures. All right? If you put crude oil there, the first thing that you're going to get, which Nigeria has been wasting for like 37 years, is the gases. The gases, you don't even need heat to get the gases to escape. Those gases, in fact, you know, I was in the oil industry for 16 years. I can tell you a little. Nigeria is not an oil company, oil country. It's a gas country. The gas that we have in Nigeria can heat the whole of Europe till Jesus comes back. Yes. Our wealth really is in gas and not in oil. We have little oil, but unimaginable quantity of gas. And the gas is the easiest part of that whole arrangement to explore in terms of infrastructure, in terms of what you need to get the gas out. The gas can be easily explored, but it is not the gas we are going for. It is the oil that we are going for. Well, the Lord will bring us deliverance one of these days. Hallelujah. So the associated gases will be the first thing to escape because it is loosely joined. It is loosely found. So just a little heating is going to... So that in our own refineries, we don't have any system by which we can trap the associated gases, so we just flare. And that's why if you build a house in Port Harcourt, see the man from River State is crying out. He knows I'm talking about his village. If you build any house with zinc in his village, the covering, the shelter of your rafters will be for 1 week because of the reactions that will take place given that those gases are flared. Are you with me? So it is only the gases that will flare at minimal temperature because the complex mixture holds a lot of hydrocarbon value. So each useful component is going to fractionate at a definite temperature. Hence, you can get what we call aviation turbine kerosene, which is the kerosene used to drive jet engines. You can get it at, oh my God, my... I used to recite these things. I have forgotten the temperature. But the first thing that will come out is aviation turbine kerosene. Then we have the kerosene that has higher particulate matter, which is the type you use in your kitchen, because aviation turbine kerosene is 0.01 particulate matter content. If it burns in your stove, just in case you still have one, I don't know if people still have stoves now. If you still have a stove and ATK burns in your stove, it's going to be blue, no yellow. Blue all the way. And that blue cannot stain your pot. But if it's household kerosene that is with associated particulate matter, it's going to burn with mostly yellow, and that's where you will need hyper cleaning when you are done cooking. So you will not know if what you are doing is cooking or burning, because the job of cleaning the pot is equivalent to the labor you use to cook. Now, so these things fractionate at various temperatures. All right? And then as you go on, the heavier components like diesel, you know, diesel is heavier than petrol, will begin to come, and then it goes heavier until you find stuff like bitumen, asphalt that is used to construct roads. In fact, the asphalt component doesn't come out. When you finish the whole process, you scoop it out from the base of, and that's what you use for your roads. So the idea was that if our refineries were working, they should be constructing roads every night, every day, just because there's no other use for asphalt other than roads. And that's the material that can fight water, H2O. Water can drop on asphalt, and asphalt will trap it, and it will flow over it into the gutter. Try any other thing, it will pack the thing along. So God, I wanted to go into politics, but I'm back. What I wanted to say is that the God of heaven did not plan that anybody in this part of the world should be a poor man. And I have proof. But when witches and wizards, warlocks and necromancers were brought into the picture, everything became complicated. But the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. That is how it is in Christ Jesus. His spirit in us is a complex mixture. Complex. Then when you begin to exercise your spirit and to run your refinery, part of the things you enjoy, part of the things that will distill, that will fractionate, is called the knowledge of Him. There are things that you don't know about Him that He will now begin to disclose to you just because your refinery is kept running. A true furnace, you run consistently for 25 years before it goes for turnaround maintenance. A refinery should be running for at least 5 years. Before it should go for turnaround maintenance. All the resources, the crude you need to refine for 5 years should be available. Do you understand? So that it just keeps, and then you are supplying, people are consuming, you are constructing roads. That's the idea for an operational, functional system that never breaks down. Nigeria will rise again. Because we have all it takes to take us to the promised land, but we are yet in Egypt, counting cucumbers and herdsmen. But the Lord will bring deliverance suddenly. So the knowledge of Him, as we begin to explore the potential of the complex mixture, one of the things that comes out that galvanizes our walk with God is the knowledge of the Christ, the knowledge of the Christ, the knowledge of the Christ. And the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Our destination is glory. Our destination is virtue. But our process on the path of spiritual progress is galvanized by the knowledge of Him. And this knowledge is one of the fractions that will come when your refinery is operational. And that's part of what mobilizes you for advancement in God, the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is not something you study. It's something that is given out to you in the privacy of your spirit during moments of true spiritual intercourse. Because God has the resources to manage us at a very personal level. And until you begin to engage God, sometimes we might be in a congregational meeting like this, but you must understand that the scope of engagement is very, very personal. That's where the knowledge of God is born. Knowledge of God most of the time is consistent with your need. Something you need. And then there is a knowledge that crystallizes that if you explore has the key to your need. It's when we begin to look inward and we find that what we seek is not in the future. What we seek is not in the past. What we seek is in Christ Jesus. And you have a responsibility to explore the potential that He has given us as spiritual capital as we exercise our spirits in the refinery of tongues. Hallelujah. Next verse. Now, so we have been given stuff by the dunamis. Now, because we're given stuff by the dunamis, He said it is inconsistent with that He has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. You're not with me. Are you with me? I'll tell you. The reason why God gave us exceeding great and precious promises is a bait. Have you ever used a hook to catch fish before? You put a worm on it, you release it, and as the fish wants to eat the worm, the fish will pick the hook. The hook will stay. Then you draw it out. Now, the Bible says that we are not likely to want to operate in the God life. We are not likely to want to operate in the possibilities that God has made available to us. We like the corruption of the fall. And in order for God to entice us so that we can adventure in Him and leave the corruption of the fall behind, what He did was that He gave us promises. And the promises are baits that will encourage us to become partakers of the divine nature. So as I want to reach out for the fulfillment of a certain promise in my life, I will be journeying from corruption and journeying into God. The promise becomes the bait. But the destination is that God wants us to be partakers of the divine nature. But what He did is that He makes some promises available. You get that? You got that? Good. I'm taking you through all of this process to explain what it means to lay hold. So what God did here was that He put the promises as a bait. And in an attempt to lay hold on the promises, we begin to participate in the divine nature. So the first faith verb is what? Receive. And in the Hebrew, what it means is to lay hold. Now, you will see that these verbs I'm trying to explain are active. They are functional. Once upon a time, I wanted to improve my prayer life. I was too weak in prayer. And I saw one of my friends speaking in tongues. We went for fellowship. I saw one of my primary school classmates. He was flowing in tongues and I was not baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. Jesus. So when we were coming back home, I asked my sister, how does one speak that language? She said, well, she's going to take me to the leaders of the fellowship and they're going to lay hands on me and pray for me the next fellowship day. I felt that was long. And then on Monday, because we went for fellowship on Saturday, so my hope of being baptized in the Holy Spirit was next Saturday. And while we were in FCS, in school, they invited a guest minister, and he preached on the Holy Ghost on Monday. Then he now said, if you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, those days the doctrine we taught, they taught us was, some people can be filled with the Holy Ghost and not speak in tongues. And some others can be filled and speak in tongues. That means they have a gift of tongues. That was the ancient doctrine.
Hey, Jesus Christ.
The man has not finished the altar call and I was there. So there's no need for me to wait till Saturday. I can receive that prayer now if the thing is by prayer. And he didn't even touch me. I just began to flow in tongues. Very mature tongues, you know. And then I saw my neighbor there too, wanting to get filled with the Holy Ghost. He was among such that received without speaking. He was among such. But he said, I spoke in tongues from that day till today. By the time we now went to fellowship on Saturday, because my sister didn't know, I was speaking in tongues. Because in my house, my father was a staunch Orthodox man. He will fight you if he hears you flowing. So everybody knows how to manage his affairs. So when we now went for fellowship, my sister was hoping that at the end of the thing will carry me. When they say pray, she heard. She didn't believe, but I have not stopped you today. You see, because I wanted to lay hold, there was a promise, and I wanted to lay hold on that promise, I came into an experience of God. See, that laying hold is a desire to reach out into something that God is making available. As you think that's the objective, you try to lay hold, you enter into another experience of partaking in the divine nature. So I didn't need the Saturday prayer. I didn't even need the preacher that came on Monday because he didn't do anything. Before he touched me, the baptizer and the Holy Ghost had visited and completed the entire experiment. In fact, he himself was surprised that somebody spoke in tongues because he was not expecting. That's why he supported himself with the gospel that some people get filled just to redeem his image. Some people get filled and not speak. So he has created soft landing for himself to escape the responsibility to ensure that people speak in tongues. But we today, when we minister, everybody, according to the scriptures, they all, that's the one we believe now. And we have seen people that never even said the sinner prayer. Never said the sinner. A staunch Catholic. I went to preach in Benin State University. A staunch Catholic that will never attend Pentecostal meetings. And she just came for the meeting. And then while we were praying, she was just speaking in tongues. Never led to Christ. She's a pastor in Makurdi now. I want to keep the name. But she's a pastor in one of the churches in Makurdi. I saw her speaking in tongues without an altar call. Hallelujah. And it was not as if we gave an altar call, come for speaking in tongues. She was just in the congregation. So, you see, the thing is organic. It's not a textbook. It's not cerebral. At what point did she pass from confessing her sin to? It's organic. Just like it happened to the household of Cornelius. Hallelujah. So God is expecting us to lay hold. There are so many things he's offering us. If you decide to lay hold, you become a partaker of something that is stronger than what you came to seek. So the first attitude of a man of wisdom is a consistent desire to lay hold, because there is no scarcity in God. There is no lack in God. There is no small measures in God. God is an ever-burning light. God is a consistent illumination. With him there is no shadow of turning. And if you are willing to lay hold, you are admitted to become a partaker of things that pertain to the divine nature. The next word, next verb of wisdom is hide. Hide. When I checked in the Hebrew, what I found was treasure. If you treasure something, if you attach value, are you with me? I said, are you with me? Now, imagine when we started here, my wife, Yeah, my wife was here, yes. My wife, Chief Don, Evangelist Shala. You know those days? When we come for a prayer meeting, we're like 9. And then when people are passing, they look at us because we are not on the popular side. It looks as if we are not. The reason why we continued is because we treasured what God was calling us to partake in. There were many people that came here and felt we did not have the numerical strength to be taken seriously. What happened to them was that their heart did not treasure what we're seeking for. You know, there were many people that were in the fellowships I pastored in school, and when we started this stuff, they felt I was good for school, but I was not good for a ministry that was terrestrial within the city. One of them just sent us a feedback a few days ago. He's late now. Because what he means by that is that he's supposed to be at the front lines. And now that he no longer has access to enter into the front lines, he's late. There's no need for him to come. You see, the reason for which he wants to come is still a wrong reason. He doesn't treasure what is available. So there are people that stay for long and never stumble into the thing that makes the house what it is. The problem is they don't treasure it. If you have a pendant, you have a necklace that is gold, you don't keep it in a common place. You hide it. The reason why you hide it is because you treasure it. You treasure it. Concerning wisdom, the Bible says there is an open invitation. Because wisdom is crying in the streets and calling out to people, I'm here to help your life. In fact, wisdom was wondering how you could be living life without me. You see, people don't treasure wisdom. So they could ignore the cry and leave out stuff. In spiritual things, if you don't treasure it, you will not hunt for it. You will not be willing to sacrifice for it. But the Bible says that the kingdom is like a man that finds a field, and he goes back and sells everything that he has so that he can buy that field. That effort is going to be criticized. The effort is going to be mocked at. But what is going to be your motivation is that you treasure what you see. Wise men seek treasure. And there's so much treasure in Christ. You can't explore all of it in time and eternity. An administration set up in the spirit to manage your affairs and to ensure that you fulfill the plan of God for your life. The extent to which you interface with this administration is the degree to which you understand how desperately humankind that are created insufficient need to go to the throne of grace and receive that which is necessary to swallow up their insufficiencies so that they can function, even though as men, they can function with the abilities of God. The question is, how much do you treasure the things of God? Even my family mocked me because I was all out for Jesus. I was a Puritan. I was addicted to Jesus. Hallelujah. My family, they are not unbelievers. I can tell you, remember quotes, statements that people made, old and younger. But the reason why they could not deter me from the mission was that my heart had seen the value of the great treasure that is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Many years down the road, the same people that stood as stumbling blocks changed without repenting. They didn't come to repent and say, oh, we're sorry. They just changed and said, we always knew that you would shine. That's the statement of a commentator. But the real work of faith is tied to treasure. If you begin to consider the word of God as treasure, because I tell you, it's sealed with seven seals, you will never see it. try to study it, you have back problem. Then you'll find out that there's a protocol. And the protocol is, if your heart opens, then the book will open. Your heart will only open if you treasure it. The third word of wisdom, wise men operate like this, is incline. And the Hebrew word I found, that was a root word behind what was translated incline, is consider. Many times when we teach and preach, like just now, Barrister came up with an emphasis of how we need to hate sin. So I pushed it further to show us the seat of Mekadishkim. Jehovah Mekadishkim. If you leave this place and you don't sit back to ponder, to consider, that how far can I go with this man lost? I already made two ladies pregnant that I aborted. I forced them to abort. All of that is only me that knows. And I'm still seeing the lost raging. How far can I go with this loss? Is there no cure for this ailment? When you begin to consider, you create an atmosphere for the Spirit of God to interrupt and sow a seed of wisdom. Wise men consider. They do what? I was here, but we're not using these seats then. When someone that I believed the person doesn't respect me. He now came with a prophecy. And the person gave me that prophecy. But you know what? The Bible says, despise not prophesying. He didn't even talk about the vessel that prophesied. He said, don't despise it. It means what? Consider it. The guy may not have a good attitude towards you, but that thing he's saying, can you just take some time to what? Consider. And when I considered it, that means you have to separate the utterance from the person. Put the person in somewhere, and when I considered it, I found out that utterance was true. And that God just tested me. If I can separate the person from. But I never knew this until I considered. Wise men, they do what? Do you know it won't cost you anything to just consider? Consider. I don't have time to take you to the book of Songs of Solomon. You will see Ecclesiastes. You will see him considering. Because those are the moments when you consider, you open the door. He said he went to the field of a lazy man. He was overgrown with weeds. The stone wall was broken down. He was still observing. And then through his observation, the Holy Ghost now took over. Say, yet a little sleep. That was the Holy Ghost. Yet a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed bandit. Because the Holy Ghost, walking through his consideration to plant a seed of wisdom. Wise men, they do what? They consider. They consider. The lady that God might put in your heart to marry, people might come and spoil your heart about her. Say, useless. She's terrible. The family is poor. You know what? Consider. When you consider, you will be taken beyond the suggestions of men. And you will be taken to a point where you afford the Holy Ghost his own input. I think I told you about my wife. On our wedding day, we finished wedding. One of our people from the village said, hey, if I had told you, you wouldn't have allowed me. That was... Meanwhile, the reason why I went to meet them was to thank them for coming. That was the feedback that came. As if I invited them. My mother said I should release money. She'll bring her relatives, bring people. So I didn't invite them personally. I just saw them there. And that was the feedback that I got. Hallelujah. When you consider, you go beyond the impute of men. And many years, when they found out that there was peace in my home, I never sent to any of them for wisdom. They said, we knew you. We knew. The way you are so quiet, so meek, we knew you would succeed. Don't ever follow a man. They will change their mouth. Change. They'll say, this thing you are saying, we said, we don't remember. Meanwhile, you are killing yourself. When last did you consider? Then the fourth word is apply. What I found in the Hebrew is to stretch out. That means allow the word of God to stretch you out. Allow it to judge you. Allow it to straighten you. Whenever you are confronted with the word of the Lord, do not fight it. Allow it to straighten you. You are crooked. And the only way you can know that you are crooked is when you stand close to a ruler. And the word of God is the ruler. Never fight it. Allow it to straighten you out. There's a scripture I found in the Bible that sent me praying. He said, anger lieth in the bosom of fools. Oh! That was a hard blow. But I allow it. I know some of you will ignore it and say, bara, 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 bara. Allow it to straighten you out. Let it straighten you. Let it straighten you out. Let it straighten. That's the ruler. The ruler is trying to show you the dimensions. It means you are curved. You are beveled. So in applying, you allow it. What? Straighten. Then we have two words each that mean the same thing. Cry and lift up thy voice. It means prayer. Wise men always pray. It's when we are moved to pray that we give the Lord an occasion to give us a feedback that will move us forward and reach the peak of ministry based on my understanding. And I went to pray and I lifted up my voice. I said, what else do I need to do to move to the next phase? And I stayed on that for 7 days. And on the seventh day, the Lord came to me and said, if you say you are a giant, then take giant steps. The first giant step I was confronted with was my wife's school. I saved 9 million. I thought it was a lot of money. So I was speaking bold with the engineer. I said, okay, we'll put something here, we'll put something here. When they started digging the foundation and pouring cement, I said, somebody must have robbed me. Because the 9 million did not bring the building out of the ground. Those words came back to my ears again. If you say you are a giant. So at that time, God was waiting for me to believe in what I say about myself. What do you say? Yes, I believe I'm a giant. Then take giants. Then I went back to God. But you were the one that said I should start building. He said, yes. I said you should start building, not with your resources. See what your resources could do. You think when I say build, I was talking about you. What can you do? Every giant understands that without God, man is nothing. Then I keyed into God's strength. And he built that building before my eyes. I remember the first time I climbed the second floor. And I told him, I'm standing on you now. Because this is not me, this is you. The breeze came. The voice of the Lord came in a physical breeze. And it began to give me more insight. So when the time came, a quantity surveyor came up with the embassy project. I said, we'll need so and so million. I said, let's go for it. Because I've been inoculated. Yes, the process of building that school was not about the school. It was about me being built up. I was too small. I was a small man in a big body. And God wanted to make me a big man in a small body. And the way I found it is that man without God is what? It's not. Please preach to your neighbor for me. Say, man without God is nothing. So my prayer point changed when I discovered that. That was spiritual knowledge. The next big step was Festival of Glory. When we did the calculation, the committee was very articulate. I knew again that we cannot fund it. And I went back. I said, I hope you know 15 years ago you came and said, we will do a crusade called Festival of Glory. He said, yes, I'm aware of it. But you know what is in the account. He said, you are making the same mistake again. Who told you that your account can help? Because of your unbelief, don't take offering in that meeting. That's what. So I came to the committee, but I didn't tell them that the law said we should not take offering. I said, they have not paid salaries for 11 months. So it will be unthinkable for us to say we are taking offering. And I said, but I didn't know that I was paying for my unbelief. Because when we didn't take offering and we agreed as a team, that's when the money started coming. Money started coming. And in that first crusade, we spent 5.6 million. That's unthinkable in my according. It's a sacrilege. And I saw the way of giant steps. It's not the steps of man or the abilities of man or the strength of a man, but allowing God lead the way. Then I now trusted God absolutely. And he showed me that he's not a man. He doesn't need the ox, the strength of an ox, or the legs of a man. Oh, when I now understood this, he now said, I will make a way in the wilderness. Talking about the wilderness of my God. So I will make a way in this wilderness. And I will cause rivers to flow in this desert. I will bring nations to your city. This will become a place of pilgrimage. Many from the nations of the world will come to learn my ways in the wilderness of this land, and the way that I will make will be a sign to all nations. I could believe that because I've seen him carry out his mighty feats. The next giant step we want to take is to start a cable television. When we went to the company and said, okay, what services do you offer? They said, all right, this is the first bundle. The first bundle will cover Africa. Second bundle is these dollars. It will cover Africa, little Europe. Third bundle, which is the highest bundle, how many these dollars? It will cover the whole of Africa, some parts of the Middle East, some parts of Asia. I said, stop there. That's the one we want. Meanwhile, when I was telling the person, we don't have any dollar. But you know, I've been there before. I've been there. Before this year comes to an end, you'll be there. When your face will be in Tunisia, they will see your face. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, God used normal, natural people to do extraordinary things. That is the story of revival every time. Nameless people surrender to God, and God shows them how limited their humanity is and shows them how powerful his divinity is. When men bow and allow God the rite of passage, even the little one will become a thousand, the small one will become a strong nation, and the least among them will become as strong as David. Some things, it is not prayer. There's another type of prayer you need to enter into some things. Because having applied all the principles, it will not work. And what you do, there are two words there. There's seek and search, which means inquire. Let me show you some examples of inquiry in the Bible. You try to get married and all the ways are blocked. It's time to inquire. There is a wisdom that you lack. There is an understanding that will come to you. John chapter 9 from verse 1 to 3. Sorry, this is not my lecture for the night. I just wanted us to pass through this place. But it has taken up all the time. John chapter 9 verse 1 to 3. And Jesus passed by He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, this is inquire, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? That's inquiry. Now, it means the apostles had a little knowledge. In the lectures that Jesus gave them, Jesus told them that the man's sin can be the problem. Jesus told them that the man's father's sin can be the problem. So they said, all right, we have a typical situation. Based on your previous lecture, we know this is the work of sin. The diagnosis was what? Sin. Nothing else but what? So who sinned now? This one was born so. Was it him? Where did he sin that he became counted against him? If he was born in this condition. Or is it his parents? This inquiry. What did Jesus answer? Jesus answered, neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. It means Jesus deliberately refused to give him eyes in the studio so that Jesus can come in time to give him eyes. Understanding. When you seek, there are many things that are stagnant. They are not moving. Wise men conduct inquiry. Everyone here desiring marriage and it is seeming to be an impossibility. Can you go on a diet of inquiry? When that understanding came that it was not because of sin, but God deliberately allowed it so that he can show forth his glory. I hope you know the prayer point has ended. It is thanksgiving now. This is moving from knowledge to understanding. Understanding comes when we subject ourselves to inquiry. So one of the ways of the wise is what? Have you seen something happening in your life and it's cyclical? It goes, it comes back, goes, it comes back. It is a call for what? It means there is a mystery behind it that the Lord will have to unravel. Choir. Before I close, I want to tell us how to inquire from God. Inquire from God by the laws of spiritual intelligence. The first law of spiritual intelligence is this: God does not speak much. God only answers much. God does not what? Speak much. He only answers. I tell you this from wealth of experience. So it is only those that ask God questions, that initiate the conversation, that can get God to talk. If you want to wait for God to talk, he will wait for long. He answers much, but he doesn't speak much. So in your walk with God, you will notice you'll be praying, then he will just talk. That talk is answer. And there are few times where you can be lying on the bed and he comes to you, then he speaks. So if you check the ratio of the time he speaks without an inquiry and the time he responds to inquiries, you will see he doesn't speak much, but he answers much. So based on the first law of spiritual intelligence, make sure you are always asking. You see those guys, the Bible never told us how long they asked. Who sinned that this man was blind? Say it to him for 21 days. Not in tongues. Tell him in English. Who sinned? What was it? What happened? Nobody can exceed 64 years. What is the problem? For 21 days, don't miss it. Ask. You'll just be sleeping one night. An angel will walk into your dream, like a man, and take you to an ancient apparatus. God does not. God only what? Exactly. Second law of spiritual intelligence The airplane of God's activities is called the human heart. The human heart. The human heart is the theater of God's displays. Those of you that still remember the diagram I drew of the secret and the inward parts. The heart is the theater for God's display. So since we know that the heart is the theater for God's displays, and God is spirit. Are you with me? It's not man, he's spirit. And God is not on your head, God is in your heart. If God is spirit, the theater of his displays is your heart. Expect him to be manifesting where? On your heart. Listen, because he is spirit, he will not operate like a man, he will operate like a spirit. The language of spirits is one, knowings. Two, signs. Three, sights. It can give you a quick sight. You know it's not your eyes that saw that. Quick sight. Let's start again with the list. Number one, knowings. It's just, you know something, you don't know how you know it. But you know it. It's spiritual. Second, it's a sign. When you lose your peace, has it ever happened to you before? A sign is not an intelligent communication. So when you lose your peace, it's expected that you speak in tongues for 45 minutes so that you will not know what you are losing your peace about. Exactly. And then when there's fullness of joy, you wake up with a song. It's a sign of spiritual health. It means something happened while you slept. Pray for in tongues for 45 minutes, you'll find out what happened. Because a man without knowledge, for a man to be without knowledge is not good. That's what the Bible says. So there's a reason why your spirit is rejoicing. That rejoicing is not because of your pocket, because of something that happened in the spirit. And Jesus rejoiced in the spirit. It was not his making. It was the spirit of God in him that began to rejoice. And then Jesus said, Father, I thank you because you have not revealed these things to the wise. That was why the Spirit was rejoicing. Jesus decoded it. Have you ever had a time you just had this strange peace? You cannot take. Huh? That's non-cognitive communication. You need 45 minutes of tongues to know why. Remember, the theater is where? Many of you wait for spectacular things to see rainbow. Ooh! It might happen 2 times in your lifetime. You are waiting to see lightning. You will be old at 94. Because that's exceptional. But I'm telling you what happens every day. This is supernatural. Supernatural happens within the privacy of your heart. But it's a testimony of the position of God about an issue. And nothing can change it. Because the Bible says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall that thing that he has shown you is established. No matter, even though there's Satan, there's Aleku. Huh? If you have seen it in God, it's established. It will come to pass if you wait long enough. Have you seen your wedding? Have you seen it? You have seen it before. It means it's established. The thing now is for you to believe God until you see it. When we saw the building that is going on today, and we even saw it to the paint, the color of the paint, we saw it. Those days when we say it, people say we are mad, we are crazy. Not anymore. Hallelujah. When you pray, you see your heart picks things, not because you are prophetic, not because you are a prophet, but because that's the God is spirit, and his theater is your heart. Every one of us, if you begin to enter into God, your sight will be activated. It's a privilege for all his saints. Don't come and dazzle us that you receive word of knowledge. That's what all of us do. And we do it for free. It's not a big thing. In an accurate apostolic assembly, it's not something for championship. Everybody has a measure of those dimensions. It's just that the prophets have it more. Because their calling is along the line of revelations. But everybody can judge. Everybody can know if you are talking from God. You know, I got you. If those of you in the spirit know that what I did before I started teaching was not anger, was a spirit. You can judge it. And if it's issue of anger, God accept us. All right? I don't even get angry on the ground. Talk more of pulpit. You say you are getting angry, lose your pulpit. No. That spirit that disrupts the service must be judged. And the spirit inside judged it. You understand? The theater is where? Then we have, number one is what? Knowing. Two is what? A sign. You can lose your peace. The third one is what? A sight. It gives you a quick vision. And there are three kinds of visions. Open vision, you'll be sitting like this. And it's as if this flash of a camera comes on your face. Then you see something. Very faint, but it's sure. Then a trance. Something like sleep will come on you. Then you fall into sleep for 2 minutes and see something. That's a trance. In a trance, the anointing on you blots out your physical senses so that your spiritual senses can take a snapshot. Then you have a dream, which is a night vision. Most of you know what dreams are. These are the basic ways that the Lord, walking in the theater of your heart, will bring you disclosures to take you outside of the box and to show you His will. Remember, God does not speak much. God only what? Answers. And if you keep asking, He will answer you. Ask for 21 days. That's the example of Daniel. Eh? Say it for 21 days. Say it every day. Why is it that people are poor in my family? For 21 days. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Then you shut down. You go and sleep. That's the last prayer you pray before you sleep for 21 days. On the 14th day, He will walk into your dream. 17th day, you can just be praying like this and you just begin to see pictures. On the 15th day, the young man that is coming to showing you that he's so loving, you might just feel inside of your spirit. And you know that this is not the man. A knowing of revelation has popped up. No believer should walk around blind. You can escape mistakes that bedevil people, that tie people down. You can escape traps. You can escape injuries. If we build on the voice of the Lord, no devil be able to destroy. When we charge young people, what do we say? Build on the voice of God. If you got that, then we can pray. Sorry, I took 25 more minutes. Took 25 more minutes. The reason why I took it is because I want us to be in order. I will not say yes until I've gone there. 21 nights before I sleep. I say, great one! You know we have a challenge. It is not given unto us to direct our steps. Can you come to our aid? This is the matter. This is the matter. I will sleep off. On the fourth day, you will see a man. Before I wake up in the morning, that man normally comes. And he comes through my right hand side to the bed. And he will speak to me. And when I wake up, it's so clear. But it was not a physical man. That's how he spoke to me. He came and said, I came to give you your visa. Meanwhile, I made a mistake in the way I filled the form. The time I filled this well, they didn't give me. I now filled it wrong. So I came to give you your visa. And I got it. Hallelujah. That's the same man that came and said, I open Europe for you. The man comes around 4 a.m. I'll be seeing him. With this eye like this. Then when I wake up, there's no man. Yesterday the man came again. And the name he spoke, I told my wife, I said, this kind of name. I know before 2 weeks, we'll find out why he spoke. He spoke the name 3 times yesterday by the side of my bed. Who told you that you are a sheep without shepherd? Your shepherd is spirit, so he will come to your heart. That's where his theater is. Don't expect lightning. Don't expect the encounter that Paul had in Damascus where it's all light. You might only see that once in your life. But on your heart, it's alive there every single day. If you can feel what I'm saying, you can. Oh my God. You see, he has come again. Come and see me.
Keep your heart with all diligence. There are issues that are tied to that platform. Oh my God. Can we pray and say, Lord, make me attentive to my heart. Make me attentive. Make me attentive. Make me attentive to my heart. In the name of Jesus. Attentive. There are things going on right there. Things brooding. Make me attentive to my heart. Jesus. Finally, if you are going to make the most of the Lord's presence on your heart, your spirit must be consistent. See, Daniel was there for 21 days. Can you ask God for a consistent spirit that will insist every night I will stand before him. Every night I will cry. I will make a petition that your spirit will be consistent. That your spirit will be consistent. That your spirit will be consistent. Your spirit will be consistent.
Consistent peace. a consistent spirit, a steadfast heart, a consistent spirit, a steadfast heart, a consistent spirit, a steadfast heart. Grant unto each and every one of us a consistent spirit and a steadfast heart. Grant unto each and every one of us a consistent spirit and a steadfast heart. Consistent spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
You are beautiful in all your ways.
Please, let's pass the offering back this round. Basket.